Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Within days away from real football, actually tomorrow night and Friday night and Saturday and Sunday and Monday, if you're a big college football fan like I am. But a week from tomorrow night, we get the actual NFL season started with Philly and Dallas, and then we've got week one next weekend. And joining me for, I don't know, a 10th straight year, 11, I have no idea how many years Charch has been coming on the show, but he's one of my favorite people to talk not just fantasy football with, but just football and other things with. Charch is back again. He'll be with us on Thursdays during the season. He's joining us today because that's what worked for both of us this week. At Paul Charchian on X on Twitter. Charch is a fantasy football expert. His podcasts are Fantasy Football Weekly and Chop. How are you, my friend? How was your off season?
Well, I've missed you. I moved to Utah.
What? From Minneapolis?
Yep. Your home? I moved to Utah. I'm out of Minneapolis, for better or worse. Uh-huh. And I've been vacationing in southern Utah, and it's just so beautiful. And my wife and I looked at each other, we're like, you know what? We're in our 50s. We've been shoveling for 50 years in Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna shovel some, you know, there too, aren't you?
Well, not in southern Utah. Here it's a high desert, so really no snow. And yeah, we're just decided, you know, we still have our mobility. We can go hiking. We can do all the stuff outdoors that Utah's great for. And they're like, you know what? Let's just pull the ripcord. Let's do something different with this stage of our life. So we did it.
Wow, good for you. And by the way, you can do what you do from anywhere.
I can.
My wife, by the way, says that to me all the time. She's like, you can do what you do from anywhere. So let's think about, you know, maybe somewhere else.
Yeah. But
she always has like her eyes on somewhere not here, like Spain or something like that. I don't know if I would do that. I would actually do that, but that would make it harder. But anyway, what do we got? I mean, is it Ja'Marr Chase or is it Bijan Robinson, number one overall? Did we lose Charch?
He's still on the line for me. Give me one sec.
Okay. Right after I said, we can do this from anywhere. Maybe we can't do it from anywhere. Let me know when we've got Charch back.
Yeah, because he was switching to a headset, and I think it may have lost connection. That's just me speculating right now.
Okay. Well, let me know when we have him back. It seems like... By the way, Bijan Robinson, I mean, there's so many great running backs in the league. Saquon Barkley, Bijan, Gibbs, Henry, McCaffrey, if he's healthy. But man, Bijan's running style is my favorite in the league. It is so effortless. He is a glider, and then a quick foot in the, you know, dirt, boom, he's off. Just love the patience of Bijan Robinson. We'll try to get Charch back here so we can talk some fantasy football with him. I am in a league, and our draft is coming up this weekend. Fantasy, as many of you know, for me, is not the same as gambling on games. It's not the same rush, but it's fun enough for sure. Charch, by the way, always a massive Vikings fan. For many years, grew up a Vikings fan, and over the years, we have talked some NFL history, and Charch really knows NFL history around the league, an NFL historian. Many times our conversations go much beyond just fantasy football. By the way, Charch's appearance today on the Team 980 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Do we have him back?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Charch, you there?
Yes. I hate losing 2 minutes with you.
You know what? I'm going to give you those 2 minutes back. It's August 27th. We're good. But I know you've got a busy lineup, so you tell me when you need to roll. But I asked you, I said, is it basically Chase or Bijan Robinson as a top pick, as the top pick in most drafts?
Chase is going first overall in almost every draft, Kevin, and you can make case for Bijan Robinson. I think the real question is, after Chase, where do you go? Because Chase has been so good, so much volume, stays healthy. And the Bengals' defense is going to be awful again. They're going to be passing constantly. So there's a real opportunity for Chase to be every bit as good this year as he was last year. Of course, if you like somebody else, always go get your guys. I mean, it's one of the biggest mistakes people make on draft day, Kevin, is you're drafting at ESPN or Yahoo or Guillotine Leagues or wherever, and you see the list of players and you feel like, oh, I'm supposed to take these guys that are at near the top of the list.
Right.
And go get your guys. I mean, nothing worse than come out of a draft and you're like, I don't even like the players on my own team. You know, go get your guys. And if that means you have to pay early, you got to go spend a round early, you got to reach around to get the guys you love, then go reach around that if that's what you need to do. Go get your guys at pick one. Again, I'd take Chase. You want to take Bijan, that's fine. The real question is at pick two, you could go a half dozen different ways. Bijan.
What's
Saquon.
The biggest mistake, though, Charch, players make in PPR leagues in terms of the first round?
Well,
is drafting a quarterback a big mistake in the first round?
Yeah, it is, because they don't catch, then they don't get the PPR points.
Yeah.
So, if you want one of the big four, my draft strategy for this year, and it's this way most years, if I can't, I want one of the four great mobile quarterbacks, including the one you have in your town. I want Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts. One of those guys. That's roughly third round to get those guys.
Yeah.
Or I'm just letting that position go, baby. And we'll come back round 10, round 11, round 12, and we'll pick up quarterbacks then. And if I can't get one of those special dual threat guys with explosive upside, then they're kind of all the same.
How do you see, let's go running back. So you definitely have Bijan Robinson as the number one running back.
I've got him number one, Barkley.
Why? Yes. Why do most people have him ahead of Saquon Barkley?
Here's my rationale. Saquon Barkley scored 7 touchdowns from over 40 yards last year. That's not going to happen again. His quarterback is always going to steal the up-close touchdowns,
right.
So there could be some sneaky downside on Barkley.
Yep.
Robinson's catches the ball a ton. And let me give you a very revealing stat on Robinson. His offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, last year, inside the 5 for the Falcons, inside the 5, completed 4 passes all year, ran the ball 27 times.
Yeah.
Robinson is the man at the stripe, and I feel like that's just to me a little bit of the differential for Robinson.
By the way, I was saying when we lost you, Bijan Robinson is one of my favorite backs to watch, maybe my favorite mm-hmm. back to watch, because his style is very unique. He's kind of a glider, and then all of a sudden, boom, the foot hits the ground, and then there's this acceleration. Like, his gifts are way up there. But stylistically, don't you think he's really unique? Like, is there an obvious, historical comp for the way Bijan Robinson runs? It's not Le'Veon Bell. He doesn't wait behind the line of scrimmage for,
right.
A 2 count before he goes, but he's like a glider. Is that, who comes to mind as a comp for his running style?
Well, just to be clear, I'm going to give you a Hall of Famer because he's the first guy that jumped to my mind, and so I'm not putting Bijan Robinson at Eric Dickerson.
I was
going to
say
yet.
Dickerson, yeah.
Yep, but that's stylistically, I think there's a little something there. You know, Dickerson also had the glide and then the acceleration. It just poof, he's gone.
Yeah.
But what happened? Just outrunning everybody. So that's the comp that immediately jumps to my mind. But let me tell you about who I've got at running back three. Ashton Jeanty.
Already.
Man, I just you don't run into opportunities like this for very many players where you are an astounding college producer on the ground, through the air, pass protection, and you drop into a system that's going to run the wheels off you. I mean, the productivity opportunity is so high. And sure, I'd love it if Jeanty was on a different team, but Pete Carroll had his Marshawn Lynch beast mode for years. He's got his new beast mode. Chip Kelly's the offensive coordinator. Last time Chip Kelly was a head coach in the NFL back a decade ago when he was with the Eagles, he ran the ball inside the five and at 84% rate, never threw. So I think it's going to be just a monster year for Ashton Jeanty.
That's interesting. I mean, I can envision, as you said that about Chip Kelly, obviously it was always up tempo, and mm-hmm. they were just hammering it in from the five. If Christian McCaffrey to me is a very interesting guy because he could easily be 80 receptions, 1,200 plus yards, and he could also mm-hmm. be done for the year after week one. So how do you handle Christian McCaffrey?
Biggest high-risk, high-reward player in this draft is Christian McCaffrey. If you want to take him, you're going to have to take him roughly pick 8, which is where he's going right now. So there are 7 people in your league that are passing on him. Maybe they're cowards. Maybe they're doing exactly what they ought to be doing with Christian McCaffrey. The reason I'm not drafting him is – and week one, we're all going to feel like morons for not drafting him because week one, he's going to be great, and they're going to throw him a million times, and McCaffrey's going to be great. Do you want to put your first round equity into an aging running back, the position that has the highest failure rate, running back? You know, over the last 6 years, McCaffrey has been either fantastic or he's cost you your year. I don't want to put that much risk at the top of my draft in my most valuable selections. I put risk and running back risk, especially into the middle of my draft. I want sure things in the first round, as close to sure things as we can get. Justin Jefferson, C.D. Lamb, Puka Nacua, Nico Collins. Give me safe players in the first round. I don't want to put risk at my most valuable draft selections.
Let's stick with running back, and then we'll come back to wide receiver and quarterback here in a moment. But give me the back that you think is under the radar and will be a steal at some point. You mentioned Jeanty, but beyond that, because Jenty's going to go really high.
Okay, so I'm going to give you another player that's going high, but not high enough. Chase Brown for Cincinnati.
Oh, my God. I was going to say Dickerson, and I've got Chase Brown right now highlighted. I swear
to
God.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So tell everybody why you like Chase Brown.
The Bengals runner is the do-everything workhorse in what should be a top-5 scoring offense.
Yeah.
He gets the ball at the stripe. They started throwing to him in the middle of last year, and from week 9 forward, second half of the year, last year, Chase Brown was number 2 in running back utilization and number 4 in PPR points scored by running backs. And he walks right into this same role where they're going to throw to him all year now. Chase Brown's got 2,000-yard upside if everything breaks right. He'll catch 600 yards, and he might run for 1,400 yards. So Chase Brown, to me, I've got him at running back 5. You know, typically he's going off the board like running back 10, running back 11.
Yeah.
So I love Chase Brown and one of my favorite players to dramatically outperform his draft spot. And then if I can give you a deeper player, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
Running and staying at the running back position because that's what you asked for. Probably my favorite overall sleeper, and I've been banging the drum on this guy since March, which is why you and I should talk more in the offseason. Jordan Mason in Minnesota is going to be in a no less than a 50-50 timeshare in the backfield and he's going to get all the goal line carries. The Vikings improved, massively improved their offensive line through the interior. They're going to run way more this year with J.J. McCarthy, a quarterback. This is going to be a much more balanced offense than it has been at any other time under Kevin O'Connell. And Jordan Mason is going to get all of those goal line carries. Last year, Aaron Jones just isn't built for this. Last year, Aaron Jones had 13 carries from inside the five for negative 2 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns on the season.
Yeah.
And when I asked Aaron Jones about Jordan Mason, he told me Jordan Mason's going to get the short yardage work. So that's as good a source as you need on Jordan Mason and why I think he's going to be potentially a double-digit touchdown scorer this year.
I thought you were going to mention potentially Hubbard or Connor, because I think both of those teams are interesting offensively this year. Maybe not as rough in Carolina here in year two of that system than people are expecting. All right, wide receiver-wise, all right, it's Chase, it's Jefferson, you've mentioned Nacua, obviously Lamb's going to be at the top. Give me, you know, somebody kind of wide receiver 10 or below that you really like.
Cortland Sutton is vastly undergrafted right now.
He's a good player, too, healthy, man.
Yes.
Good receiver.
He is a good player. I really like Cortland Sutton, and one of the things I love about him, he is such an alpha receiver on his team. I mean,
no doubt.
Cortland Sutton, the next wide receiver up is Marvin Mims, and he's got the big body, the contested catches, perfect for end zone use. In fact, second highest end zone target percentage among wide receivers last year, Cortland Sutton. Bo Nix turned very functional over the course of the season as a passer and started really identifying Cortland Sutton. We saw Sutton play so much better after Nix really stabilized about week 6 forward. And if you think Bo Nix has got room to get better as a sophomore, then you got to love his alpha receiver, Cortland Sutton. Currently going off the board, wide receiver as ADP, wide receiver 28. I've got him at wide receiver 16. So
wow.
I've got a big delta on him, and I like him a lot more than other people do.
All right. Real quickly, we'll end with quarterbacks. I was talking about a player either yesterday or on Monday that I think people are going to become, I think he's going to become a household name this year. And not that people in the league don't understand how good this player is, but I think a lot of fans think Kittle, think Brock Bowers. Trey McBride is the real deal. Is he anywhere near tight end one? I would assume Bowers is one.
Bowers is one of them, and McBride's two. And then there's the separation to the next guy. Yeah, we love McBride. And, you know, last year struggled with the touchdowns. And if you remember, they got to like week 16 or 17, and he had sitting at no touchdowns. So they started throwing to the end zone. Like, they didn't want him to go the whole year without scoring. So they had one game where they made up for it and they threw him in the end zone all the time and finally got him his touchdown. That's true.
I remember. Yeah, that's right. It was a while, and yet he was a highly productive player, just no touchdowns.
Yes. McBride was going crazy, like leading. Yeah, I think he was either leading all tight ends in receptions or right there with Brock Bowers. And you'll remember Brock Bowers set the all-time rookie record for receptions at any position last year, which is pretty crazy as a rookie. And it's part of why we love him. But if there's anybody that's going to have the regression on touchdowns, it's the positive regression, it's going to be Trey McBride. I mean, the last 2 years, he's been targeted 106 times and 147 times. That's 253 targets. He only had 5 touchdowns those 2 years. It's got to, you know, it's just sooner or later, you can't have the ball coming your way that often and only average 2.5 touchdowns a year. So the touchdowns are going to come. Trey McBride's my number 2 tight end this year.
All right, we're talking to Paul Charchian, everybody. Charch is going to be with us again throughout this upcoming NFL season. Let's just end with quarterbacks. You mentioned the top 4. Do you have them in an order? Do you have a specific order that you're confident about?
I do.
Or could you shake them up in any, you know, which way and be fine with either Allen, you know, Lamar, Jaden, or Hurts?
Yeah, take whoever you like. If you're going to go that way, take whoever you like. I've got Jaden third. The reason to move Jaden, to not have Jaden one, I think, is just health concern, just injury concern because he's slight of build, but that might not mean anything. And, you know, we don't know that. What I love about Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts is the tush push. You know, it's unreplicatable. You can't, not everybody can tush push. Lamar Jackson can't. And Lamar Jackson, over the last 3 years, he has three touchdowns from inside the five. You know, they don't use
that's
him that
it?
Way.
Yeah.
That's it.
I thought
that's
you were going to give me specific quarterback sneak data.
Yeah. Yes. Well, this, which is very close. This is inside the five data, but it's effectively quarterback sneak data as well. You know, Hurts and Allen just give you that advantage of just piling up 10-plus rushing touchdowns every year, and there's a certain safety with that. Whereas Jackson and Daniels break off these 50-yard touchdown runs. You know, they've got the open field speed, and, you know, they can help you with their legs in different ways, but not the tush-push ways.
All right, give me a QB, you know, after, I mean, Burrow, I'm assuming, is five or Mahomes, right? One of the two?
Yeah, Burrow, yep. And actually, I've got Mahomes down a bit, but yeah.
Okay.
I've got Burrow, then Bo Nix, actually. The player to target, the quarterback to target later in your draft, or what I, at least I'm doing, Drake May. You get, with Drake May, you do get rushing. He's not at the level of the four guys we just talked about, but he's 500 yards, five rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's real numbers. Downright gallant last year, playing behind the worst offensive line in football and the worst set of receivers last year for the Patriots. They now have competent coaching in New England. Josh McDaniels is back. Mike Vrabel is there. And they've got Stephon Diggs to throw to now. This is going to be a... And Travion Henderson might catch 60 passes this year. I mean, it's... There's just... So many things there's so many reasons to think the Patriots offense is going to be better, and that Drake May, who was a decent fantasy producer last year, is going to make a big jump in year two.
What do you think of the opportunity with a Kyler Murray?
Hard to get excited. The Cardinals have the exact same 11 starters on offense they had last year.
Right.
Which almost never happens. They did not put a single upgrade
really?
Into that
wow.
offense. Not one. And I feel like we've just seen what we've got out of Kyler Murray. We don't get close rushing touchdowns. He runs some, not a lot. The passing is highly inconsistent. I just think that his cap is what we've already seen. And if you want to know part of the reason why last year we had so many struggles with Marvin Harrison, who would just, he'd give us two catch 25-yard games. He was getting misfired on a lot by Kyler Murray, and those two are not on the same page a lot. Hopefully it gets better this year, but I just think we've seen who Kyler Murray is, and from a fantasy standpoint, it's quarterback 10, quarterback 12.
Can't wait to do this with you every week. Appreciate it. Glad the move went well and you guys are happy in Southern Utah. Won't be able to talk snowstorms in November or October. You know, I think one of those years it was like a Halloween blizzard and I had you on like the day after or something. Man, that would be rough to have
that as
your climate. But thanks, George. Look forward to it.
International Falls, Minnesota, yesterday.
What was it?
They had a frost warning because the lows were going to dip near 32 degrees.
Yeah. Well,
yesterday.
International Falls is very north of Minneapolis, St. Paul.
It is the northernmost point of the continental U.S., but
correct.
Still.
Yeah.
It's here it is. It's August.
It's a bit too early, August 26th,
yeah.
To have that. Although it's been beautiful weather here as well. All right, I'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Paul Charchi and everybody. We'll talk 53-man cutdown next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can watch us now on our Team 980 YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and hit the like button when you get there.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 53-man cutdown yesterday. God, I've kind of felt like, we'll talk to Ben about this, wasn't a lot of drama league-wide for the most part. There was a little drama, though, if you pay attention to our team and the Chargers. Oh, boy. Don't go here. I think we have to, though. Taylor Heineke's available, everybody.
QB3?
Chargers released him. Marcus Mariota still dealing with, you know, the tendonitis stuff. I have no idea if he's going to be ready for the opener. It's Achilles tendonitis, something like that. I think Ben tweeted out at some point. They kept 39-year-old Josh Johnson, I think a future coach in this league, or on a coaching staff. Sam Hartman, gone. You know, there's a lot of belief that they'll sign Sam Hartman to the practice squad. Taylor Heineke's available, people. Trey Lance beat him out for QB3 in L.A. What do you think? Taylor Heineke added to this roster, 301-230-0980, as a potential third string when Mariota's healthy, potentially second string early in the season if Mariota's not ready to go. 301-230-0980. Do you have interest, sincerely, in re-signing or going out and signing Taylor Heineke to the 53-man roster? And by the way, at that point, moving on from Josh Johnson. This, you know, would be a Josh Johnson QB3. Look, it's very possible that if Marcus Mariota were healthy, that Josh Johnson would have been released too, and they would have gone with two quarterbacks and then just obviously had practice squad, a practice squad QB or two, you know, for that third quarterback possibility. Taylor Heineke, yes or no? 301-230-0980. Look, all kidding aside, and I'm not kidding about the calls, I do want to hear your opinion. Taylor Heineke's a backup quarterback in the league and a pretty decent backup quarterback in the league. I'm actually surprised he got beat out by Trey Lance. Look, Trey Lance has some upside to him. You know, he was traded up for and taken at number 3 overall in the draft. He is... Actually, now that I look at their RLADS, it looks like he's actually the backup to Justin Herbert. He's the backup to Justin Herbert. And it looks like they might... I mean, they kept two quarterbacks on the final roster, Lance and Herbert. Now, they could end up with DJU or Taylor back on the practice squad. Maybe the plan is to put Taylor back on the practice squad. But 301-230-0980, Taylor Heineke is out there. Marcus Mariota's dealing with some, you know, Achilles tendonitis. I hope he's ready to go week one. I think Marcus Mariota's right up there, top 5, top 6, 7 in the league in backup quarterbacks. I would say right now, and this isn't just because I like him, I would say this objectively, Kirk Cousins is clearly the number one backup QB in the league in Atlanta for Michael Penix Jr. But Taylor Heineke is a solid backup quarterback and would be more than acceptable as a number 3 if you wanted to carry 3. I don't know what he would cost. I don't even know what Taylor Heineke made with the Chargers, what he signed for. I'd have to look that up. But if it's QB3 money, sure, why not? Now, the drama of having Taylor Heineke because of a few fans, and he had more than a few, but you know the one in particular that I'm talking about, the team wouldn't care about her. I don't think they really would spend a lot of time thinking about Sabah and her weekly, he's better than Jaden Daniels. We've got to start him if we're going to have a chance to win the Super Bowl. But Taylor Heineke, yes or no? 301-230-0980. Let me be honest. The drama, I wouldn't love. I wouldn't want to hear from Sabah every week about how he should be starting. But Taylor Heineke is an NFL quarterback. A backup quarterback, and as a QB3, if it's for not much money, yeah, You know, God forbid Jaden goes down and then Mariota goes down. I mean, Josh Johnson is okay. Super smart. Taylor's always been a gamer, man. Always been a gamer. Real quickly, and I'll talk more about this with Ben, obviously, at 12. Not Taylor Heinicke, although why not? In terms of the 53-man cutdown, I guess I was surprised that they only kept five receivers. McLaurin, Debo, Noah Brown, Jalen Lane, and Luke McCaffrey. Maybe they'll add a sixth. Look, the roster is a dynamic kind of, you know, thing between now and opening day, and then even more dynamic between, for them, week two comes pretty quickly in the form of a Thursday night game. So I guess I thought Ja'Cory Brooks had a really good chance to make the roster, especially after we saw KJ Osborne get released. I'd be surprised if Brooks isn't signed to a practice squad spot for them. Kehoe did make the team. Good for him. He looked like a football player. Again, it's preseason, but man, the intensity, the urgency, the running ability, the tackling ability, loved it from Ale Kehoe. A lot of UCLA guys, including Medrano too. Kehoe, you know, with Ken Norton Jr. at linebacker. But you know, not a lot of drama in the 53-man cutdown, that's for sure. Cleveland Farrell, is that, you know, shocking? I don't think so. All right, 301-230-0980. Taylor Heinicke got released. Let me just say, I'd be surprised if the Chargers don't attempt to sign him back to the practice squad. But he will hit the waiver wire. Would you have an issue if the team went and signed Taylor Heinicke to be QB3? Because right now there is some question about Marcus Mariota's availability early in the year. And you got Josh Johnson. They kept Josh Johnson probably for that reason. It's very possible they would have released him and then signed Hartman and or Josh Johnson back to the practice squad and kept two on the 53-man. Of course, listening and first in, Sabah. So how excited would you be if they did this?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Kevin. He'll be perfect because he kind of plays like Jaden. You know, he can scramble, he can run. He's a gamer. He doesn't get nervous when the chips are all in.
Yeah.
He's like, now Jaden obviously probably looks better in practice than Taylor because, you know, that's why Taylor really never got a real chance to be QB1 anywhere. But
because why? Because he didn't practice well?
Must not have, because he doesn't look good, I guess, on the arm, whatever they do in practice, because, you know, why wouldn't he ever be QB1? And if he succeeded and got us out of the doldrums with Ron Rivera, oh, my God, and the Scott Turner offense, he could do wonders in this offense.
You always bash Scott Turner. The reason Taylor Heinicke is in the league is because of Scott Turner. Scott Turner saw him the same way you did. Not as a starter, not crazy like your thoughts on Taylor, but he's the one reason he's in the league is Scott Turner.
I got that, but just because I build a house don't give me the right to burn it down. Okay,
well, he didn't burn it down.
You know,
he was better than the coordinator that followed him.
Yeah, but he didn't help him out on the offense. I'm sorry. But anyway, the point is Ron Rivera was the problem, and he still survived that guy. He will do wonders on this team. And also, he'll be like a coach in the room, the quarterback room. He will teach Jaden a lot about reading defenses and stuff. And I think he will stick with this team long term as a coach because I think in his heart, he loves the Redskins. This is where we allowed him to make his $19 million and some change that he has now made in the NFL. And I think the reason the Chargers got rid of him because he was making too much money. I think he's making like 2.6 or something like that million.
$2.5 million.
How much?
$2.5 million 1 year. And so, by the way, $2 million of it was guaranteed. Right. So they were okay moving on from the $2 million guaranteed. But anyway, I mean, everything you've said, now you've had, you know, a bit of an unusual take over the years, but very, very passionate and very emphatic.
Time, Kevin.
But everything you said about.
He was our number one. He was better than the Wentz and was better than Fitzpatrick. So.
Okay, he's smart. He is a gamer. He is a great culture locker room guy. Those things are true.
And
by the way, they've got a lot of mentors for Jaden, you know, in that locker room. It's not like they are desperate for more mentors, but Taylor would certainly fit. And the offensive fit wouldn't be a bad one for him with Cliff Kingsbury.
No. He's mobile. He loves our teams. Let's take him. Let's get him.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Let's just say Jaden had one off game. And Taylor's on the roster as QB3 behind Mariota. Could you restrain yourself from calling every show in town and pleading with the host to scream he should jump Mariota and be in the starting lineup the next week?
Well, I definitely think he's better than Mariota, but he's not better than Jaden Daniels. So I would never say he should play instead of Jaden if Jaden has a bad game. But I definitely would say he should play instead of Mariota. The Mariota looked kind of good this past season. So I don't know if that's just the offensive coordinator or what, but I'm not a big Mariota fan. But I would not ever say he should play over Jaden Daniels because I think I would literally get death threats by our fan base. And no, I don't need any of that.
Hopefully you wouldn't get that.
Okay.
Although social media is nuts, as you know. But what about two or three bad games in a row?
If Jaden's having bad games with Cliff Kingsbury, I don't see where any other quarterback is going to have a better game because I really love this offense. And
good
I think the only reason Jaden would have a bad game is like he did in the middle of the season where he lost that first initial quick get out of jail pass. And that goes with your confidence. Like when you know you're hurt, your ribs are hurting, you're not as comfortable with what you're doing and you just, everything's a little off. And that's what I noticed those, I think, three game span where, you know, he was average. And if he's
was better than average. He had one of his best games during the rib soreness stretch. The game in which Jaden really didn't play well last year was the quick turnaround Thursday night game against Vic Fangio and the Eagles. That was the game in which he looked human. Didn't look human most of the other games.
Well,
thanks, Sabah.
Human. Let's don't go crazy. I mean, Jay, hey, the truth will do, Kevin, about Jaden. How I am with Taylor, you're like that with Jaden. Calm it down a little bit. Bring it down some.
Well, I don't know. I think I'm speaking truth about Jaden. But thanks, Sabah. Appreciate it. Ian is calling in about Taylor Heinicke, not the Terry contract. But he did send me a note on DM. So I do want to acknowledge that, you know, your plea for me to just fess up and apologize to everybody the other day, you did reach out via DM like you have in the past and like I have back at you in the past to say, hey, was a little bit off on that one. But go ahead on Taylor if you want to start there.
Yeah, absolutely. I was way off. I would have guessed 58 to 60 million kind of your draw scenario. So I was way off there. I'm so glad I went after Sabah, and I thought she'd have such a different take on that. And it's amazing how much Cliff Kingsbury's talked about, because my opinion is, and this is where I do agree with you, Jaden's the son and everything revolves around him.
If
Cliff left tomorrow, I wouldn't change my win total by 1 millimeter. Like, I just think he's the difference maker and that. But no, I don't want Taylor Heinicke. I think when you're a backup quarterback, and we've seen this with the Chase Daniel model, is your job is to be invisible. It's to be a non-presence. You shouldn't be talked about at all. And Taylor Heinicke, even outside of Sabah, has, I don't want to say a presence here, but too much of a presence to be a backup quarterback. I think the Josh Johnson, Marcus Mariota model is just much better. Now, if you think Jaden's going to get hurt and the way he plays and he was Gumby last year, but this year he could get hurt, then I would want a much more adequate replacement than Taylor Heinicke, because I personally don't think he's, I don't even think he's a good backup. Like, we've seen him enough to know maybe a game, but I don't have a lot of faith in him. I think we've seen enough. So
yeah, I think actually Mariota is the perfect backup quarterback because number one, he plays stylistically the same way. Number two, he's a veteran. Number three, he is a bright guy and very well liked. So would Taylor Heinicke. I disagree with Sabah. I think Mariota's, you know, I actually liked Mariota for a few of those years, and I thought he had a chance to be a decent NFL starter consistently. He had some years in there, but clearly he was not, you know, the upper echelon, even the top half of the league starting quarterback for a career that I thought he had a chance to be. But he's a better quarterback than Taylor Heinicke. But as number three, you know, knowing the culture guy that he is, et cetera, yeah, I think that wouldn't be terrible other than just a lot of conversation. But I think most people are grown-ups and could move beyond, you know, calling for him to start. And even Sabah said she wouldn't do that. All right, Ian, thanks. Paulie wants to weigh in. Would you do Taylor back up QB3?
To the W. What's going on, big guy?
What's up?
What I do Taylor as the backup QB with this
QB three. Mariota's the backup. Now he might have to be the backup in the opener, or maybe for the first couple of weeks if Mariota's healthy. But you're signing him to be QB three, and you're letting Josh Johnson go.
Yeah, I would.
With you would.
I would with this team and the talent that's around him. And I think Cliff know how to scheme up a good offense for him if he had to play. And I don't think it would be any type of threat. Come on, man. We all know what the talent. You gotta have CTE if you're calling for Taylor Heinicke to start over there in the game.
You don't get CTE cutting lawns, do you?
Damn sure don't, man.
Yeah.
But let me say this. So the cherry number, the guarantee was what, 44.4? That was 44.5, something like that?
44.65, I think, yeah.
Okay, so you know what? I think Cherry got what he wanted with the 30 or 30-plus or whatever, and I think the team got what they wanted with the guarantees, you know? So, Sheen, I want to salute you this whole offseason because you did a hell of a job of being the assistant to the assistant vice president.
Okay. Thanks for your condescension and sarcasm, but doesn't mean that I don't like having you on. Good job, Paulie. Yeah, I mean, Taylor Heinicke, quarterback three, why not? Ben Standig coming up at 12. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. And I do want you to know that this past segment of the show was brought to you by Staples. Your local Staples has hot deals and super low prices throughout the store on everything for your business. And right now at Staples, save up to $125 off your print order. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for details. Ends 9/13 and save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From our good friend Neil in Rockville, we'll see a tweet from RG3 offering to back up and mentor Jaden Daniels. Yeah, that's got to be coming, right? At some point? Now, remember, there's not a big, you know, feeling out there that Washington's desperate for a backup quarterback because they aren't if Marcus Mariota is healthy. But yeah, that would be funny if like there was a report that Marcus Mariota could be in jeopardy of missing the opener or maybe the first part of the season. There's no doubt that RG3 would put his hat into the ring. And it would be all about coming in to be able to mentor Jaden Daniels. Golf fans, Keegan Bradley did not pick himself for the Ryder Cup team. Decided against becoming what would have been the Ryder Cup's first playing captain in 62 years, even though the case for Keegan Bradley being on the team was a decent one. Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin, Cam Young, Patrick Cantlay, and Sam Burns are the six captain picks for next month's Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black in Nassau County, New York, Long Island. Looking forward to that for sure. All right, Ben Standig's going to join us. He's coming up next. We'll talk 53-man. We'll talk a little bit of the Terry contract as well. The details are in. We talked about that during the first hour of the broadcast. And, you know, how the it typically this is a dynamic situation with the 53-man. Remember, Noah Brown was signed after the 53-man last year. There's still a chance with all of the cuts. And Washington doesn't have a very high position in the pecking order, remember. It's based on last year's records. For many years, Washington, you know, had an early swing at some of the waiver wire guys. Not the veteran guys, you know, 4 years or less in terms of the players released. But this year, not so much because of a 12-5 regular season. And by the way, that is something that stays in place through the first 3 weeks of the regular season, regardless of your record in the first 3 weeks of the regular season. So Washington, way down the list, hard to get, you know, good players that hit the waiver wire with so many teams having the right to nab that player in front of them. All right, we'll get to Ben Standig next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. And yes, you can watch us on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Please hit the subscribe button and the like button when you get there.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.